Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start out with a passage of Scripture in John, and this is Jesus encouraging his disciples about things to come. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." All right, and then in another place he says, let me see if I got that right. Okay, another place he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Same verse in the Amplified. "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say that it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is really giving us some pretty strong language. And he's saying, it's better for you that I go away. Think about who he's talking to. The disciples who've been walking with him for 3.5 years have seen him walk on water, raise the dead, heal the sick. You know, the amazing teachings of the ministry of Jesus. And he's saying some parting words to them. "It is better for you that I go away." That's a pretty astounding thought. Because for him to go away means that he will, in his place, send the Holy Spirit, what he calls the Helper, what the Amplified in verse 7 calls the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby. And you know, he comes so that he will be in close fellowship with you. This morning, I want to talk about simply the companionship of the Holy Spirit. The companionship of the Holy Spirit. We can look at the Holy Spirit and do always look at the Holy Spirit in a lot of different facets in light of especially these different attributes of the Holy Spirit. And we will again today, of course. You can't get away from it. But I, in a broader sense, want to look at the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit in terms of the companionship of the Holy Spirit. A movie that I've just, kind of a series of movies that I've gotten into recently, started probably the early 2000s, the Lord of the Rings series, that whole trilogy. And I knew that J.R.R. Tolkien was, I'd heard anyway, that he was a believer and that a lot of his stories are really embedded with spiritual allegory. I know like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that is also kind of another series as well. C.S. Lewis, who is able to write his Christian message through spiritual allegory. And I've enjoyed watching the Lord of the Rings series, you know, and if you haven't seen it, how many of you ever either read the books or seen a movie? I just want to get a sense of how many people are, okay, general. Okay, good, good. I mean, I'll go over and so you'll know where I'm coming from, you know, as I talk about it. But I never read the books or anything like that. I just happened to get into the movie trilogy when it came out. And so I began to watch it and follow it and see all three of them. And it's basically just kind of in a nutshell. It's the journey of these little hobbits, you know, these two little hobbits who have to take this ring that is an all-powerful ring. And it is so powerful that if anybody really tries to, and there's different kind of creatures, there's elves and dwarfs and humans and orcs and all kinds of different things. And the thing of this ring is it's so powerful, it's so dazzling. If anybody even gets close to it, it has the ability to pull on your, just kind of the all the inward, kind of the greed and power, and just kind of pulls on the worst part of your nature. You know, what you would call our human nature. What we would call spiritually, we would define as our flesh. Again, Tolkien is writing this book in allegory, so he's not coming out and using Bible terms. But really, what the ring has the ability to do, it's the person who possesses this ring has the power of the ring. So the person who possesses this ring has tremendous power available to them. So that's the temptation and the draw of this ring. And it was one of those things that in the wrong hands was just horribly deadly and destructive. And it had been lost for a long time. And this little hobbit discovers it, you know, who turns out to be this Gollum creature later on. But eventually, the ring ends up in the hands of this good little innocent hobbit named Frodo, Frodo Baggins. And there's the wizard Gandalf, who understands. He's almost kind of like the prophet of the story, and he understands what needs to be done. But he himself doesn't have the ability to take that ring to where it needs to go. Ultimately, this ring needs to go and be destroyed in the fires of Mordor, where it came from. And so there's this whole story, this whole trilogy is simply, really, this little hobbit named Frodo Baggins trying to take this all-powerful ring back to the fires of Mordor so it can be destroyed, so it can't do its damage to anybody anymore. And so as he's endeavoring to do this, he's got this journey. He's got this huge journey, treacherous, all kinds of things. And that's why it takes that whole trilogy of movies, you know, to get him from where he originally gets this ring in the Shire, this peaceful little haven of simple little innocent, you know, little hobbit creatures, all the way to this really fiery, dark place of Mordor so that it can be destroyed. But as he's going through this whole unfolding of this huge journey, one thing that's constant is he's got this companion named Samwise, who they just call Sam, okay? But he's this really, you know, he's very respectful to Frodo. He calls him Mr. Frodo. He's very honoring, and he's just kind of right by his side the whole time. And as you kind of see the whole movie unravel, you really have this almost sense of envy toward Frodo with this unique relationship that he has with this Sam, this Samwise. You know, this Samwise is, you know, he's the best friend you could ever have. He's this amazing, close companion that no matter what Frodo goes through, Sam is right there the whole time. And as I was just watching that movie the other day, and again, I don't know, I didn't look at Tolkien's exact parallels between his allegory and as it relates specifically to the word, but I just couldn't help but think of that Samwise is really right here. This is the Holy Spirit. The companionship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sent to dwell in us, to be with us. Thank God for people, your spouse, children, friends. They can go with you part of the way on your journey. But there are places in that journey only you and God can go together. Only you and Him. There are places in your heart only you and Him. And that's why it's very difficult if you ever try to put pressure on a person to take the place of the comforter. No human being can be the comforter for you. Your spouse can't do that. Child can't do it. Your best friend can't do it. They can do some things. Praise God. But only the Holy Spirit, only the comforter can get into some of those cracks that only God can fill and can get into. This morning I want to talk about the companionship of the Holy Spirit. And as we're talking about the companionship of the Holy Spirit, I want you to kind of get that context. And we'll make some more references to the Lord of the Rings, but here and there. But I want you to kind of get a context of your journey and your path and what where God is calling you to do, and realize that this comforter that Jesus talked about, that's your Samwise. That's this friend that sticks closer than a brother, than a father, than a mother, than anybody. There's a companionship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, a person. And he's there to fellowship with you. Paul references the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in Philippians 2. But we're going to talk this morning about the companionship of the Holy Spirit and some of those things that you experience as you walk with the Holy Spirit. Number one, as far as the companionship of the Holy Spirit, he will never leave you. He is there with you. That was one of the things that was brought out in the movie. You know, when Frodo started this thing, they had what was called the fellowship. In other words, he had huge bodyguards, all right, that were going to escort him from the Shire to the doom of Mount Mordor, you know, to the fires of Mount Mordor. You know, it makes sense. Why wouldn't you have the strongest, most able creatures, you know, as your bodyguard to personally escort you there? It's simple logic. But the power of that ring was so strong that his very bodyguards were getting tempted by its power. And they were turning against Frodo. So Frodo did not have the ability to have this, you know, guided, safe trip to Mordor to destroy the ring. He really had to do it by himself. And when he saw this group turning against him, they knew what to do was right. It's like the apostle Paul said, I want to do what's right, but when I want to do what's right, evil is present with me. And that's really where you can see that. That ring is kind of like the pull of the flesh, so strong. And it was like there was only one person that had the ability to carry the weight of this thing. And you can kind of see the kind of the Christ-like similarities of Frodo. Jesus took the human nature. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, Romans 8 tells us, yet without sin. He was able to take our sinful condition and never yield to it once. Meek and lowly in heart. He took it all the way to Calvary. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So there's a typology of this Frodo, this little humble hobbit. I mean, you look at the hobbits amongst all these creatures in this show, and they're what they call halflings. They're just tiny little people. And there's no strength above them. There's nothing outwardly that would be intimidating. But yet they apparently, this Frodo had a quality of humility that allowed him to carry this ring. It was like humility was the key to being able to carry this ring somehow. And as he was on his journey to do this, he realized that early on in the very first movie, you see, he's got to go off by himself because his bodyguards that were there to protect him were too much, you know, under the control of the ring. So anyway, they were still, the entourage, his bodyguard was still kind of fighting bad guys, but you know, they knew, and actually one of the bodyguards released them, you know, who would be the future king. He said, you know what, Frodo, you just got to do this on your own because we can't do it. We just don't have the power to be with you when you're making that journey. We can kind of fight bad guys for you, but you got to make that journey on your own. So you kind of see him going off, and he's off in a boat, and all of a sudden, you know, realizing that there's really nobody that could go with him. But then you see little Samwise. Little Samwise goes running after him. He goes running in the water. I won't leave you. I won't leave you no matter what. And he goes, Sam, you don't know how to swim. Get out of there. It doesn't matter. I won't leave you. You know, and you see the movie, Frodo kind of, he's in a boat and he kind of rows back and pulls him out of the water. And he says, you know, he said, the prophet guy, Gandalf, said, don't let him out of your sight. He said, and he told me, you know, Samwise said, that prophet told me, don't ever let him out of your sight. And he said, I don't intend to, Mr. Frodo. Wherever you go, I'm going with you. And you realize early on that no matter what, there was one that could go with him. There was one that could go with him and help him in some of those places. And again, to me, it's just this beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. That no matter where I'm going, there's someone who can go with me. 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, this is just the quality of our companion. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I'm amplified. Who comforts, consoles, encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also be able to comfort and console and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort, consolation, encouragement with which we ourselves are comforted, consoled, encouraged by God. So what is it saying? It's saying that we have that comforter. Jesus said the comforter would come. He's going to be there to comfort us. In other words, we are never alone. We are never alone because He is there. And He's not just there to be there. He is there to comfort us. He is there to encourage us. When we fall, He's the one who reminds us that there's the throne of grace. The Holy Spirit is not a condemning spirit. In fact, when you miss it, when you cross lines that you know are wrong, it's your own conscience that condemns you. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn you. The Holy Spirit says, there's a throne of grace. There's a way back. He's the one leading you and comforting you and getting you back on track. All right? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When I walk in the flesh, I cross my own conscience. It's my own conscience that bothers me. The Holy Spirit is there to say again, there's grace, there's forgiveness. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, this is really powerful. Again, the prospect of death does not scare off our comforter. And again, as you looked at the Lord of the Rings, the prospect of death never scared off Sam. He was just right there by Frodo, no matter what. But I think one of the interesting things that we see here as we begin to develop a companionship with the Holy Spirit, I love how you see in verse 5 it says, you prepare a table before me. It's like, who's doing the preparing? He's doing the preparing. He's doing the anointing. You know, He's the counselor. He's the advocate. He's the intercessor. He anointed my head with oil. God is actively participating. Actively participating in this journey. He is on the inside of us, and He is with us. And no matter what it is that we're going through, you know, He's preparing the table. He's with us. He's for us. You know, Romans says, if God is for you, who can be against you? And one of the things that we realize about this companion that we have of the Holy Spirit, He's for us, He's comforting us, and He's not afraid of anything. You got to realize something. There's a reason why you get attacked, and the reason why you experience a lot of this stuff, you know, that'll come against your mind or circumstances or different things like that. And the reason is because what Peter tells us says, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the things the enemy wants to do more than anything in your life is isolate you. He wants to isolate you and make you feel like you're the only one and you're alone and even God doesn't understand you. That's not true. Sam Wise is with you. That holy, you know, and if you've seen the movie, you can kind of see the smile. You begin to personalize. The Holy Spirit is a person. He loves you and He's with you. And don't ever, ever allow the enemy to lie to your mind and believe that He has somehow left you or forsaken you. He never has. He never will. He is there. That's why Jesus said, it is more advantageous for you that I go. Jesus in the flesh could only be in one place at one time. I mean, He could appear in different places, but, you know, if Peter's talking to Jesus, John would have to wait until Peter's done talking before John could talk with him. But after Jesus ascended and they had the Holy Spirit in them, they could both fellowship with Jesus at the same time. And right now, we have the Holy Spirit living out. We've got that person. He will never leave us, and the enemy should never be able to isolate us. You got to understand, you are a mystery to the enemy. You know, this time of year, we celebrate the Christmas story, but one of the other kind of sub-stories that's horrible in there is the slaughter of the innocents, where King Herod slaughters all those children 2 years and under to try to get to Jesus. Why did he have to do that? He didn't know which one was Jesus. He was going for all of them, hoping to wipe out Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is like me and you when we're in sin, guessing. When you're out of fellowship with God, you're guessing. Satan's out of fellowship with God, he's guessing. And he destroyed a bunch of children trying to get to Jesus. Just, if I can wipe them all out, Jesus has got to be in there somewhere. Jesus was a mystery to him. Didn't know which one was him. Then Jesus, you know, spirit dove descended, wilderness, temptation. Then he knew who Jesus was. But it took him a while. You're a mystery to him too. He knows you're a new creation. He knows you're a child of God. He can see in the spirit realm there's something different about you. But you see, there's good works he's ordained you to walk in. He doesn't know what those good works are. So he's just trying to throw everything at you to just discourage you, to shut you down. Everything. Anything that'll work. Flesh, any form of flesh, if it's sensual, if it's hateful, it's whatever it is, whatever. Drugs, anything to shut you down. To stop the good works that are in you getting out. And that's what we got to realize. Hey, there's somebody in us in this journey. Satan threw the kitchen sink at Jesus. Didn't affect the ministry and the life of Jesus. He did everything the Father called him to do. No matter what the enemy throws at us to try to distract us, I have a companion. I have the Holy Spirit. No matter what he throws at me, I know one thing's for sure. We are going through it together. The Holy Spirit is in me. He is comforting me. He's not afraid of death. He is anointing me, and he's preparing for me a table in the presence of my enemies. I believe that. I begin to talk, praise God, to the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as Jesus or the Father. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. There's a fellowship of the Spirit. And you can acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with me, that you are in me, that no matter where I go, you are with me and you are for me. And I thank you for your presence. And I thank you that you will never leave me or forsake me. You can begin to establish that companionship with the Holy Spirit. Not only will he never leave you, but he knows what to do next. The Holy Spirit knows what to do next. We're talking about this journey. Again, Frodo was on a journey of sorts to get that ring to its destruction. You know, you kind of think about it in the most simple way. I guess, you know, Frodo was this little hobbit on a journey to save the world. Strikingly similar to us. We're on this little journey down here to save the world, aren't we? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. This season of existence is tiny vapor. You know, this is a missions trip. Our citizenship is in heaven. Right? I mean, the Bible says you can be in this world, but not using it or abusing it. You know, it's very temporary. God's going to fold them up like a change of clothes. This slice of time. And so we see, with that eternal perspective, my citizenship ultimately, it's in the third heaven right now. That's where I'm really from, technically. And I'm born from above. And that's it. It's my citizenship. And so as I'm beginning to go through, and as I'm realizing, praise God, this time, what's going down here is very temporary. I'm on a missions trip. I'm on a missions trip to do the will of God. You're kind of like that little hobbit, that little hobbit, that little halfling, you know, who's got this amazing journey. Who's got this amazing call, and you're going to do your part. But let's find out a little bit more about the Comforter. These are a few other characteristics that we see. He says, but you have an anointing, that's the Holy Spirit, from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide with him. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit is in there, not just to be a comforting presence in those hard times, but He is there. He is there to show you things and to teach you things. He is there to be your guide. You know, you think of, you know, going on a, actually we just did this summer. We had been here, lived here 12 years, and we finally went on a trolley ride through Fish Creek, where we've been living all this time, and found out a lot of things about Fish Creek we just didn't know before, because we had a guide who really knew the history, the backstory of all this different information, stuff and sites, and we learned a lot. And the thing that you got to realize is the Holy Spirit in you is a guide, and you are not His first customer. He's been working with this unique situation of new creations in Christ Jesus, working out their salvation and discovering what God has in them for 2,000 years. This new kind of creature has been in existence, us. And He's been leading and guiding people. In fact, Jesus put it this way. He said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance things that I have said." Or like He said before, He will lead and guide you into all truth. So as we begin to realize the companionship of the Holy Spirit, I gotta picture Him. I gotta see Him as a really good expert guide. In other words, the stuff that I'm going through right now, my circumstances, my situations, He's already been there before. And a really good guide, He knows the turns in the path. He knows what's coming out ahead. You know, whether it's, you could be, have a fishing guide, you could have a guide taking you in different, you know, through the woods or something like that. And they've been through the tour before. They know it. That's who we have living on the inside of us. Whatever I'm dealing with, it's common to man. Whatever I'm going through, my guide has already successfully navigated people through before. It may be new territory for me, but it's not new territory for my guide. He knows what to do next. He's been there, done that. He has been there, done it many times. In fact, the Lord kind of brought it to my mind like a picture of the old, in libraries, the old card catalogs. If you can remember the day you go back in the library and you have a card catalog with all these references. And the Lord just showed me, you know, what you're going through, Ed, I could take you into a library of overcoming victories and just show you card after card after card. People have been right where you are and have overcome. Because the guide of the Holy Spirit, He's there. He's there to lead and guide us into all truth. And I love 2 Peter puts it this way. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. NIV, the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials, the living. So also the Lord can rescue you and me from the temptations that surround us. Or even the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Our companion knows how to deliver. The Lord knows how to get us out of our jams. In other words, I like to put it, He knows what to do next. He knows what to do next. Do we have ears to hear what He's saying? This is why we have general exhortations in scriptures that simply say, set your mind on things above. I need an answer. I need to get out of this fix. And I need the answer to get out of this fix. Set your mind on things above in a very general sense. That's faith. We want an answer to a question, and God simply wants our attention so He can give us the answer to our question. We want the answer without giving Him our attention sometimes. God says, set your mind on things above, looking unto Jesus. As I'm looking unto Him, then He's finishing my faith. But He has my attention. And this is what is kind of such a step of faith, to just in a general sense, just set my mind on things above. And I've had the Lord deal with me before, especially when you kind of have thoughts in your mind, because the enemy's the same. Kind of going back to the Lord of the Rings, there's a place in that movie where Gollum, who's kind of the, you could say Gollum, he's that little hobbit creature that had the ring, was destroyed by it, but he wants the ring so bad, and they allow him to come along on this journey with him and Sam simply because Frodo knows that he knows the way to Mordor. So they're kind of using some of his direction, but he really turns out to be ungodly counsel. But in any way, he also has that role of the accuser of the brethren. That little Gollum guy is always accusing Sam. He's always accusing Sam to Frodo's mind, you know, just saying that he wants the ring. He wants the ring. And he's trying to divide him. And one time while they're sleeping, they don't have a lot of food. That little Gollum guy takes the rest of their food and sprinkles the crumbs on Sam's, you know, his clothing, and then throws the rest of it off a cliff. You know, and then kind of stirs up, you know, Sam, you know, wakes up and notices Gollum, says, "What are you doing?" You know, and he kind of sets the stage. And it looks like, you know, Sam ate the rest of the bread. You know, and it was so convincing, so compelling, that ultimately Frodo sends Sam away. Says, "Sam, go home." And that little Gollum guy's just grinning. That's what the accuser of the brethren does. Only he tries to frame God. He tries to frame God. Puts little crumbs here, little speculation. But if you could see the whole light and all the big picture, you know that, no, God is still God, and Him is light, and there's no darkness at all. Really, there isn't. Even no matter how it looks. But what the enemy is trying to constantly do is turn you against your advocate. Turn you against your comforter. He's trying to drive that wedge in between you and God and get you accusing God and pointing that accusing finger at God. And, oh, He's your guide. That's the work of the enemy, to try to sow discord. And sometimes I've had that, and we get that sometimes in our mind. It's like you can have these thoughts that can be hurtful and painful and accusing, you know. And I've been exhorted by God, because sometimes you get these thoughts, and God, oh, I can't seem to turn them off. They're coming, and I just, okay, yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. I shouldn't be thinking. Yeah, but I can't turn it off. How do I turn these thoughts off? And that's where the Lord just said, Ed, you got to turn the channel. You know, if you don't like country music, and you're tuned to that country station, and they just keep playing those country songs over and over and over again, why don't they ever stop? I can't make them stop. No, you can't. As long as you're tuned into that frequency, you're going to hear what that frequency's playing. That's why the enemy tries to get you to flesh out and sin in other areas. It tunes you to a frequency of the flesh that causes a bunch of junk to come in. Why can't I stop? Why can't I stop? There's going to be a setting your mind on things above in a very general sense that doesn't answer the specifics of your question, just in a general sense. That's why worship at the beginning of a service like this is powerful. You are just generally worshiping God. You're generally tuning yourself to heaven, to looking up to Him. And that guide is going to get you to generally look up. Look up and tune in, because He's got stuff He wants to say to you. But you got to have ears to hear. Ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So, we're talking about the companionship of the Holy Spirit. He knows what to do next. And simply, we've got to be tuned in. And how do I tune in? This is, praise and worship is a powerful way to tune in. That time in the Word is a powerful way to tune in. You see, the Holy Spirit, the one who lives on the inside of you, He wrote this book. And when you write a book, I don't know, you write that book, the author is just quickened in those words. And that author will start speaking to your heart and your mind. That's the power of feeding in the Word of God. That companion of the Holy Spirit who wrote this book will be stirred up, stimulated, and you'll get familiar with these words because they're His words. If you want to know about somebody and you read their tell-all book, that's one way to get to know who that person is. Well, we've got a tell-all book on the Holy Ghost. He shows us how He thinks, how He deals with situations, about forgiveness and grace, and how to handle certain situations. You see your companion. His guide is right here. And so this is a great way to get to know the guide on the inside of you through the written Word. And then finally, He has the strength you need. He has the strength you need. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. All right? Now here's Colossians 1:11 in several translations. New King James, strengthened with all... This is the Apostle Paul praying for the Colossian church. He's saying, I'm praying that you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Amplified says, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. The living... We are praying, too, that you will be filled with his mighty, glorious strength so that you can keep going no matter what happens, always full of the joy of the Lord. And then finally, the message says, we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy. This is really the cool thing, too. And this is the thing that the world doesn't understand. This is the thing that, you know, a lot of believers don't understand, unfortunately, too. You know, if all we were left down here was theology, we're in big trouble. You know, you can have perfect theology and be very frustrated by perfect theology. You can rightly divide the word of truth and see it and know it, but there's something else you need. You know, when you go back at that first amplified, you know, he's a strengthener. He's not just a counselor. He's a strengthener. There's a place in that story at the Lord of the Rings. It's at the very end. Frodo's finally there. He's at the fires of Mordor. He's just yards away from destroying this ring. But he is just on his back exhausted. I mean, he has been through everything. I mean, anything you can think of, few things you shouldn't have thought of. He has been through it all, on his back, wiped out. And he knows in his mind he's just got to get this ring a few hundred yards now. And he's just about there. But he has nothing. He's zapped. You could say he knows the theology of what he's supposed to do next, but he has no power to do what he knows he should do. And then that Sam, he's just saying, come on, Mr. Frodo, it's just a few more yards. You're just about there. He says, I can't, Sam. I can't go on. I just have nothing. I have nothing left. And then Sam looks at him and says, well, Mr. Frodo, he said, I can't carry the ring for you. He said, but I can carry you. And he sweeps down and picks up Frodo and throws him over his shoulder. Begins to carry him, you know. And, you know, as he's carrying him, you know, he carries him, he gets him close, and all of a sudden, I think as the Gollum creature disrupts him. But anyway, Frodo gets re-energized, he gets reinvigorated, and goes over to where he needs to be. And he's going over there. And that is so much the way it is with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can't do your forgiving for you. But he can strengthen you with might in the inner man to where you can rise up and forgive those who've sinned against you. You can have, in a sense, I got no faith to believe for this, but there is one on the inside of you who can strengthen you with might by his spirit, by his strength. He is a strengthener. He has the ability to breathe power, spiritual power, into your spiritual being so you can get up and do what you know you need to do. Not just a counselor to guide you. He can give you the spiritual strength to do it. He can carry you while you do by faith what you know you need to do. He can give you the strength that you need. As we begin to develop that companionship with the Holy Spirit, I realize, no, it's not me. However, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. me, amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And you see, praise God. You know, sometimes you get into those spots where, oh my goodness, it's so close. And you can just hear voices coming against your mind to try to get you to paranoid or freeze up or choke or deer in the headlights. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit is right there to say, nothing but net. You just keep going. You got this. You got this. You got this. The enemy's tricks that are common to man to try to, nope, I'm with you. I'm sticking with you. I know what to do next. And I got the strength right here to help you do it. You know what I so loved about the end of that movie when Frodo, you know, successfully destroys the ring. Sorry if I ruined that for anybody who's going to see it. He does do it. He's laying in the bed there, and you kind of see the cast of characters start to roll in, you know, of all these people that were part of this big fellowship, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, you remember that person? You know, this is like, you know, 9 hours of movie, so it's kind of like this piece of your life you're kind of reliving as you see all these characters roll in, and then all of a sudden, you know, the last one that rolls in is Sam, and that one is the most significant of all. Because these characters had real physical exploits, but Sam was the one who stuck with them. And when you see him walk the door and their eyes meet, it's like, ah, they've got some stories to tell. Just those two that all the other guys in that room didn't even know about. We got to see it because we watched the movie. But things that those two went through. You know, there's stuff in your story of your life when you're in that heavenly place and the cast of characters, the person of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see him. And there's stuff that only you and him know. Only you and him know, and you walked through, and it's like, wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow, we're getting through this journey. We're getting through it together because I've got a companion. I'm never alone. He'll never leave me. He knows what to do next, and he has the strength I need to do what I know I need to do. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for the companionship of the Holy Spirit, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit truly is a comforter, a companion, a strengthener, a guide. We will never be alone again. Even at the point of death, the Holy Spirit and me together leave this body. And we together go to heaven. Oh, Holy Spirit, we are so thankful for your presence in our lives. We acknowledge you. We're so thankful we're never alone. No matter what comes at us, no matter who our enemies are, you prepare a table. You anoint our heads with oil. You strengthen us in the inner man. We are sufficient through Christ's sufficiency. We truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, never leaves us, always guides us. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your ministry in our heart. We yield ourselves to you. We purpose to never allow the enemy to distract us. We purpose to never allow the enemy to frame you in a wrong light. You love us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.